listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
To all the ladies in the place with style and grace, allow me to lace these lyrical dishes in your bushes. Who rock grooves and make moves with all the mommies. The back of the club sipping Moe is where you'll find me. The back of the club Mac and Hoes, my crew's behind me.
Mad question asking. Hey, happy birthday, B.I.G. Hey, welcome to the Blackout Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen.
And we're in a very special Tuesday. So everybody knows, number one is Dumb Thrones. Number two is Big's birthday. Because remember, I'm not celebrating his death anymore. That's morbid as shit. I don't know what's wrong with y'all people. And then number three, we got Patrice C. in the house. Hey, Patrice, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Great, good. Great. You know, how's that weather up there? You gotta get that.
We have spring today. It's magic.
Yeah, well, spring comes for you, and it was storming a minute ago up here. I was like, just don't let the power go out. Just don't let the power go out, and we made it, so we're good. And also, I'd like to say happy birthday to Nick Jew, who listened to the show. So, all right, man, let's talk about some Thrones. Patrice, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, I thought I lost. Okay, cool. We good. Let's talk about some, no. This is the Blackout Tips, and, it's a podcast, and we do it 5 times a week, and you should know that by now. And all you have to do is, go to iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, leave us 5-star reviews on iTunes, leave comments and stuff on the page, vote. All these good things, ways to interact with the show, all the contact information is the about section of the show. We appreciate everybody that does that. Just go to theblackouttips.com/about and you can get all our contact info.
Mm-hmm.
You know, appreciate everybody signing up. I will send out a new update on how many premium subscribers we have tomorrow. And let's just say my arm is feeling like it's kind of getting hot now. Cause I promised to get a tattoo if we got to 100, and, it's getting up there, man. So, we're past halfway, which is officially time for me to start, you know, making some plans, looking at some prices. Cause, I feel like this is going to happen. So, I mean, now hopefully we get to 99 and everybody goes,
everybody stops.
Yeah. If everybody's cool with 99, we all make an agreement. Hey, I understand. I won't have any hard feelings with y'all. With the 99, so that's cool with me. Yeah, hopefully, you know, we reach that landmark goal, and that would be, awesome. Also, let me knock this out the way right up front. We are sponsored today.
Woohoo!
Mm-hmm. On Big's birthday. We're sponsored by a very sexy sponsor, and it wouldn't be right if I didn't play some sexy music from Notorious Big. So let me find the one sexy song he made. See if we can get it jamming.
Oh,
up now.
One more chance.
One more chance. That's sexy to you.
Here's another one. And another one.
This is the only time R. Kelly will ever be played on this show without being a joke.
That's true.
Oh no.
Fellas and ladies, are you looking to spice things up in the bedroom? Have you been fantasizing about surprising your love with an adventurous new toy or adult movie? Well, maybe you can go to adamandeve.com and check out this offer, and you'll be going, I'm fucking you tonight. If things go right, you know, get that package. This is the song that plays in my head every time I check the P.O. box. I'm like, but go to adamandeve.com for a limited time only. Get 50% off of just about any item. And we have tested the limits of the items, and I haven't found one yet that you don't get 50% off of.
True.
But that's not all you get. You also get 3 free adult DVDs of white people in slow motion having beautiful sex with HD cameras and production value. No cameraman
costumes,
getting involved.
No.
After the shoot sex and the bonus scenes.
None
very
of that.
Professional. Okay. I'm talking people filled out forms.
Taxes.
Yeah. People file taxes on these. You know, you put porn star down as your occupation, man. These are serious people when it comes to these sex DVDs, and you also get a free extra gift that's so central that I don't know what it is, and I never do. It's always different. And to top it off, they even throw in free shipping on your entire order. So go to adamandeve.com, for the special offer. 50% off one item. When you put in the code, what is the code? TVGWT. That is how you get your 50% off, your three free DVDs, free extra gift, and free shipping. TVGWT at AdamandEve.com. All right. Enough nonsense.
Nonsense.
It's time for the Thrones.
He's like, I better get out the way now because I know I'll forget.
Yeah, I was looking forward to this week's Them Thrones. I felt like it was a pretty good episode overall. A lot of stuff moved forward, but it was still a little bit of filler and in-between stuff. Like, you know, nobody major really died. I thought a lot of people were going to die this week. Nobody really died that I thought was going to die. So, and I didn't get my Theon. Oh, God.
You sound a little disappointed, sir.
Yeah, I didn't tune in for Passion of the Gendry. I tuned in for Passion of the Theon. And I was a little bit let down. But let's get right into it. First things first, they had Arya hanging out with the Hound.
Oh, my girl Arya.
Yep. She's captured up. Now she's kinda turned into this year's Sansa but with brains. You know, like she just goes from one captured situation to another.
Oh, poor thing.
Yeah. Brotherhood with banners, this shit. Or Brotherhood Without Banners or whatever. But yeah, so Dog is chilling with her and she's not having it because she's a G. And she decided that she was not a fan.
He snatched her up mid-escape. She doesn't even want to be there.
Yeah. She's like, just let me go home and try my chances in these woods. And he's like, nah. So he was like, look, you lucky I got you because it's a lot of rapey ass niggas and like pedophiles and dudes that like to beat kids and shit out here. You know, all I want is my money, which I called it, man. I called that shit when he got when he got jacked by the Brotherhood a while back. I said, yo, he's about his paper, not his raper. He gonna get his shit back, dog. And I appreciate him sticking to the G code of getting his paper first. Much respect to Dog on that one. But, yeah, Arya wasn't feeling it. So, Dog, went to take a nap. And as he's wont to do, you know, it's a lot of, you get tired out there on the road. And even though he had told her that, he's taking her to see her family and shit. He's like, I think just before that, she's like,
yeah,
she saw him sleeping. She's like, yeah, let me get me a rock. And while he's sleeping, I'm just gonna crush his head with this big ass rock, and I start hearing the music from Color Purple, the African music. I was like, oh, here we go, it's gonna happen. And when she got close, he didn't even like open his eyes. He was just like, no. I give you one chance, and after that, I'm gonna fuck you up. And she decided that discretion was the better part of valor, and put that rock down. So.
That's where she's like Sansa. She's more curious than she is a killer. Right. So she's like, you know what? If he's willing to go through all of this and I'm holding a big ass rock, let me go ahead and put this down real quick and see what happens.
Yeah, right. 'Cause he gonna fuck me up if I miss.
And so then they were on a horse and he told her his plan. I need my money, taking you to your family. So why don't you chill out? And she was like, I'm gonna kill you anyway. I was like, God damn. He was trying to be friends, Arya. She was like, nope.
He ain't got time for friends. No new friends. No new friends.
She lost the only two friends she had, Hot Pie and Ginger. So, Dog is taking, that was like where they left off with them. But, I figured she'll either get reunited or something, but Dog gonna get his money. And then he told her the story of how his sister, her sister almost got raped and he saved her. And
yeah.
Arya still gave no fucks.
No fucks. It's just Sansa. She's gonna get raped eventually. Mm-hmm.
if it ain't one day it'll be the next, so.
You know, it's not about when, it's about who.
plus Dog got no couth, he has no like, no nuance to his speech, so it's like he's telling her he saved her sister from being raped, but then he's saying it like all fucked up, like, I saved that little stupid whore from being, I was like, damn, dude, you're not helping. It's not helping. So.
And am I remembering wrong? Not that that still even plays a part now. Didn't she and Sansa have a fight before the father died? Like, they didn't leave on the best of terms, like, if they each other thinks the other is dead. Like, their last conversation was a fight. So she's like, fuck that bitch. I done forgot about that.
She's like, why you save her? I mean, sure. I guess. But yeah, I appreciate him being about his money. So that was what I took from that scene. Then we met the second sons.
Who, they need a spinoff.
Yeah. Oh.
They need a prequel.
Can we get a prequel? Yes. I would watch a web series prequel. HBO Go, get on that. I need that in my life because those dudes had no table manners. they just showed up to the Khaleesi's, set, put their feet all on the table.
Yeah, right into VIP and just sat down and started asking for bottle service. Wait, what?
All up in your videos. All up in your VIP. So, yeah, they, I didn't even catch the two dudes' names that were talking about shit, but, the main cat was like,
His name was Titan's Bastard. That's the only reason I caught his name.
Ooh. There you go. The Titan's Bastard. And he was like, look, I feel that you think that you can take my dudes. Khaleesi's like, somebody run these numbers past this fool. And they was like, you got 2,000 men and we got 10,000.
Oh, I love it. Let me get my dragon calculator. Hold on.
Somebody pull out the abacus real quick. Where's my accountant? So they ran the numbers past them and they said, look, we got over 10,000 unsullied and you got like 2,000 men. So I don't know how you expect to beat us. And dude was like, hold up now. It's like 8,000. Y'all got 8,000 unsullied to our 2,000. And they was like, that's still a lot, motherfucker. He was like, well, we'll see. You know, I'm willing to take my chances.
Squad up.
Right. I was like, that's some badass shit to say, you know, and she was planning on that dude's sexism to work against him. Like, I can't lose to a girl, but he apparently didn't give a fuck about losing to a girl. Cause he was like, I tell you what, show me what them titties do. And, if you, like pull out some vagina, something, somebody getting fucked around here. He's filling all on the translator chick with the natural hair. I'm like, these dudes are fucking worse than people that go to Hooters, man. Just handsy and rude. So,
and that was the best scene of the episode for me when he turned up, to see her afterwards.
Oh, near the end?
Yeah.
That
we'll get to that, but that was my scene for the episode.
Oh, man, Khaleesi's, she'll beat. I was just
going to say. The actress who plays her, she doesn't win something this year. Something's wrong.
I wish Justin was here because we gonna gush all over Khaleesi and I know he would be hating, but he couldn't make it today. But second son's leader trying to fuck people. He's sniffing the maid's vaginas and shit.
That was so rude. So that rude. That made me really mad for some reason.
So rude. No reason. You know, it's not even like she was trying to dress provocative or nothing, man. They just some fucking hooligans. So they decide that she gave them like the night to think about if they trying to go to war with them dragons or not. And they did not seem fazed by that shit. But you could tell this one dude was gonna be somebody. His name was like Dario.
My man with the side braid. He was very pretty.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Such a he was like the light skinned dude in New Jack City. You know, this pretty motherfucker never liked you anyway. So he was chilling, being pretty and shit, smiling at the Khaleesi, being nice. Everybody else ain't have no manners. And then he said his full name, so I knew he was somebody. I was like, it wasn't no need to introduce yourself as that if you just third title second son leader.
True.
And they made a point of punking him in front of her too, cause she was like, well, listen, Commander. He's like, Commander, you're a lieutenant. Come on, bitch. So he got ashamed and shit. But, he took it in stride, you know, and, they left and he looked back at her kind of like, you looking good. And I was
like, he bookmarked it.
Yes. He's like, add this to my favorites. And she definitely was in the spank bank at that point. So it was very nice of him. So that's where they end. They went to go think about it. Next scene, we get back to Stannis and Melisandre.
Oh Lord.
Mm-hmm. she finally came home after leaving Lord Stannis by himself for so long, and I'm sure he was tripping. I kept hearing 7 whole days in my mind.
Just, oh Lord,
7 whole days without a word from you. I felt like that.
7 whole nights.
Yeah.
That's how that song goes.
That's how I felt. Like he was just sitting there listening to sad Toni Braxton music, till she got back.
Love should have brought you home last night.
Right.
Go through the whole list.
Yeah. She does make a lot of sad movies.
Yeah, yes, she does.
Even I think one of them is like sad love song is the title. But anyway. Mm-hmm. So she comes home and he seemed like he was pretty hype. Although she came home with Gendry. And he's got king's blood in him.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like kind of seducing him and being kind of flirty with him at first. And I'm like, you know, she's getting kind of in his personal space, being real nice, calming him down. And Stannis didn't like that shit as a typical insecure, jealous type of nigga. Mm-hmm. As soon as he was handcuffed, so soon as Gendry left, he walked up like, why you got your eye on that dude like this? I see y'all up on him. What's the problem? You know that, you know how much I love you. And, she was like, look, you don't pull out a knife and let the sheep see it when you're about to slaughter his ass.
Exactly.
And I said, that is a cold bitch. Goddamn. That is some cold pimp shit to say, man. She's like, but
she's the type of woman that would have a husband but sleep with some dude to pay their rent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, when you confront her, she just breaks down the bills to you. Like, you mm-hmm. don't get a say. You like, but.
Not even, no, she wouldn't even break it down. Do you like living inside?
Right.
And then silence.
She's like, do you know how much you spend on shoes every month?
Mm-hmm.
Those Jordans don't buy themselves. Like, you just find out that you involved in this shit too. And that's what she did to Stannis. She was just like, she was like, look, you don't ever see the knife when you kill the sheep and then they won't panic. They won't run off and you can kill them easy. And he was like, bitch, you sound like you killed a lot of sheep. And she's like, well, and he's like, oh, well, excuse me then. but, yeah, I kept thinking she's going to kill dude anyway. I thought she was going to kill him last week. So, I started feeling bad for Gendry, but she was like, look, go to your room, take you a shower, get some nice fresh clothes, and I'll be up to see you after a while. And, like a man, Gendry was thinking with his dick. He's like, all right, then I'll holler at you. And, went to change. so we finally cut to one of my favorite characters, most underrated on the show, Davos Seaworth. And
mm-hmm.
he's sitting in his cell maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago. The daughter of Stannis, Fishface, she promised that she was going to teach him how to read. So he was in his cell. He'd been doing his lessons. He's getting his Fantasia on. And he was, he was stumbling through some words.
It was very Reading Rainbow.
It was.
He was pronouncing everything.
Mm-hmm. he sat there like, duck. I'm like, good job, Seaworth. Good job, buddy. Seaworth though, man, he has one character flaw, and I feel like it's the one character flaw that gets everybody killed on this show, is he's such a stand-up dude, but he don't know when to shut the fuck up.
Right, everybody has too much conversation.
Stannis came up there like, hey man, I'm gonna let you out, dog. I came up here cause, you know, I feel bad about the way shit ended. Please do not hit my woman again, dog. Okay?
Like, she. You can help it.
Right. She letting me let you out this time, and you know I really need you to. And he's like, all right man, I won't hit her again, but I might speak up against it because I can't help myself. And he was like, god damn, you stupid. Like, how many times we gotta go through this same drill? Stop talking about my woman. I'm sensitive. And then Seaworth told this story about how he was basically like an atheist and he didn't believe in none of the gods. And I mean, I understand that in like modern day society in America, but this nigga lives in a time where there's dragons and pussy poltergeists.
Thank you. Believe in something.
Yeah, you gotta pick something, bruh. Okay? Dudes are making fire on swords with their blood. You don't get to be an atheist in this reality.
and having fights to the death and then dying and calling do-overs. No.
Yeah.
Pick one.
Pick something, dude. That's ridiculous. Oh, man, that was the most preposterous conversation of the show. There is no God. So I was like, okay, dude. All right. Explain that fire sword shit. Okay. No, you can't. Thanks. So yeah, the mercenaries, they cut to the second son, and they're sitting around having, sharing a stripper. She's basically giving lap dances or something. And they're giving they're having guy talk, you know, this is locker room talk here. And you got the one guy who's the leader, the Titans bastard, and all he's thinking about is how he's gonna fuck the Khaleesi. And obviously fuck everything. He's about fucking. That's what he was letting everybody know.
A lot of he's about that life.
Yeah. A lot of cock talk going on.
You know? I enjoyed her outfit out of everything in that scene.
Mm-hmm.
Because she went to the young guy, Frederick the Hollywood or something. It was all like strung up and had pieces and
yep.
No glue. But it was all
no
together.
Glue.
Mm-hmm.
She was dumb like rocks, but she looked good.
Yep, cheeks hanging out, dudes kissing mm-hmm. on the ass, slapping her around and shit, and she liked it. You know, she's mm-hmm. like, dudes. And I like the Titans Bastards line, which was that Dario is a whore who something like he's a whore who doesn't like being a whore, some shit. Basically, comparing mercenaries to prostitutes because you get paid for a service.
Same idea.
Yeah, so he's like, you a hoe too, and I'm a hoe, and we're gonna kill this other hoe, cause she getting in our way.
We're gonna hold up.
Yeah, he's like, we might can't beat her army, but we just sneak in at night, one of us will kill her. So they drew coins, and they were gonna decide, like, which one of them would kill her. They made the prostitute that they were with, hand the coins out, and Dario got the coin that says, kill the Khaleesi.
So. And she really proved how stupid she was, because instead of closing her palm, she closed her eyes.
Right.
And so she wouldn't look at the coin, but close your eyes, boo. Mm-hmm. No? Okay.
Yeah, alright, stupid. But, Dario just, they kinda end the scene with him having this look on his face like, huh, I got the coin. Well, sorry, fellas. And that was it. Like, you don't know what happens, there's no evil intent on his face or anything, just cut to the next scene. Which we'll get back to later, but I enjoyed that scene a lot, and I'm a Mr. Titans bastard, so we need a prequel because he's good.
Serious, because he was too much fun just in that couple minutes. Because from the moment he came on the screen and walked in the room, he's not gonna make it out of this episode, is he?
Right.
Like, there was no question he was going to die.
No one disrespects the Khaleesi like that. For that long, you know,
and
like,
she was so calm about it too. No dragons around her, nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the thing too. Like, she, like, there was never a point where she panicked, man. And we'll get back to that later, because she does that the entire episode where it's like fucked up situation, and she's just like, okay, let me deal with this real quick. All right, so we cut back to the imp, and he's explaining to Sansa, like, it's time for us to get married. So I want you to know I never hurt you, and you don't have to worry about, you know, anything bad happening to you. Do you drink wine? She's like, only when I have to. He's like, you're going to need something tonight, though, because it's going, my family ain't shit, and you know they ain't shit. So, like, it's going to be an ordeal. And Sansa was like, still feeling sad for herself.
Oh, God, I can't.
Yeah. How does she?
Every time she comes on the screen, I check to see if I need anything. Do I need a drink? Do I need some water? Because I don't have to pay that much attention, because she's just gonna do stupid shit.
How does she not know that Tyrion is the best possible outcome for her in this situation?
I just don't understand how she hasn't thought this out.
Oh my God. There's no situation that, the other dude, Loras, is gay. And they right. weren't, you know, they weren't gonna let him marry her anyway, but still, he's gay. Joffrey is a fucking evil ass bastard. And Tyrion is the only one that's like, look, we gonna get out of here, girl. We gonna move somewhere. I'm gonna be fucking Shay. I'm gonna leave right. you alone. You ain't gotta worry about all that. All you gotta do is chill.
He's always been kind to her. He's never made anything, as sexual as he is, he's never made any kind of sexual reference towards her, at her, near her, any of that. She should be happy. This is vacation.
yeah.
compared to Joffrey.
There are very few progressive men in this show. There's Dario, the dude who is like, man, we probably shouldn't be fucking these hoes. I like women that want to have sex with me. I ain't into this rape shit. And exactly. then there's Tyrion. There's like two of these motherfuckers. And Dog of all people. Dog is like, I don't take the pussy. I got a standard. So, you know, I'm like, I don't get why she's so mad or whatever or sad. She need to cheer up. Marjorie had a conversation with Cersei, which made me cackle like a fucking witch. Because Marjorie tried that same sisterhood game that she pulls on Sansa.
Not gonna work.
Cersei do not, no fucks left.
No new friends.
Her friend list is full.
Her friend list is not just full, it's locked. Cersei's account is private, you know.
Moment Marjorie went to link arms with her, you saw her pull back like, don't touch me. But she let it happen. She's like, no.
Yeah. She's like, oh, well now you done touch me, so I get to say whatever I want to.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, she tried the sisterhood, like, we're gonna be sisters and this, that, and the other. And Cersei, gave her a speech about how, you know, this shit is all contrived and bullshit, and she knows she's slick. She thinks she's slick because her family trying to be the most richest and most powerful, and this, you know, y'all ain't, you know, I'm on y'all's game. And, before I leave, you ever call me sister again, I'll have you strangled in your sleep. Walk off, drop the mic. Damn.
Say something.
I loved it.
Say something. Find something to say.
Yeah, and Marjorie's, and she did all of this at a public event, standing like right next to her. So it was one of those moments where you can't come out your face.
Nope.
So Marjorie just had to get her face game together, like, okay then, I'll talk to you too later, girl. But.
I call you.
No, it's cool. She will always walk off like that.
This is how she is. This is mm-hmm. our relationship.
Yeah, that's my sister. I mean, don't say it to her, but.
You know?
Don't tell I said it.
Yeah, don't tell I said it. It's my sister.
You don't want to be your sister. You're not her type.
Right. She's like, you're a different.
You're cute like that.
You're a different type of evil than me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord. Different type.
So, Joffrey, had to give Sansa away at the wedding, and in true dickhead fashion, didn't even tell her that's what he was doing. She's so stupid. God, she's so stupid. She shows up and sees Joffrey there, and instead of just being like, okay, obviously he's here to give me away, what else will he be doing? She goes, what are you doing here?
I can't lie, if I saw Joffrey, I'd do the same shit. Like, nah, you about to pull out some last minute shit I didn't know about that's some ancient ass rule book in the back. Fuck you, Lord. No.
Sansa will never have a chess face, dog. She cannot play poker, man. She just straight up was like, oh no, it's happening. He's marrying me instead.
Joffrey, he found some shit in a book that says you get to fuck your ex-wife at the altar or something. Like, I'm with Sansa. I would have been scared.
Oh yeah, I would have been scared too. He goes, your father's moved on to the realm, so I have to give you away. I'm like, you moved him to the realm, remember? Nobody forgot.
You're in charge of relocation.
Right. Nobody forgot, your assistance in getting him to the realm. He gave her away, but as a true dickhead, of course, the imp being, a little person, could not stand at the altar eye to eye with his bride. Sansa's very tall, by the way. So they have like a stepladder that he would stand on, and he could see eye to eye, put the ring on her finger, put the veil over her head. Apparently, Joffrey decided, after giving away Sansa, it's like give a penny, take a penny. He took the ladder. He decided that that's coming with him, and he had this smirk on his face, like, watch this.
He really is Jamie Lannister's child, because he just took that ladder and went,
What a fucked up move. And the priest is so like flabbergasted and shit. He just goes through his ceremony like normal, like not realizing the implication of this. And he's like, okay, well, I now pronounce you guys, husband and wife. You can put the veil on your bride's head. And, they stood there for a good 20 seconds with Joffrey, snickering in the background.
because Sansa's a big dumb child. She didn't figure out that she just turned around like he was magically gonna catapult up onto her back. Kneel down, dummy.
Right. No, just so stupid. Just so stupid, man. So, she had to kneel down. The imp told her. And, I gotta say, man, chair placement and physical comedy this season for the imp, it's been on point this year. Like,
chair placement.
It's been good, man. A lot of subtle, not getting at his height of meat directly, but kind of getting at it. I like it. So yeah, he put the veil on her head, and that was the end of the wedding scene. Melisandre cut back to her, and she's now in the room with Gendry. Mm. And he's like chilling, and she's like, "Hey man, why are you so nervous?" And he's like, "Cause you are an evil ass witch, and I've been thinking of it."
Now that I think about it.
Yeah, without in these couple hours since I haven't seen you and thought about how hot you are, I've realized this is a dangerous fucking situation. And she was like, "Calm down, man, have something to drink." And he was like, "I'm not drinking that shit." And she was like, "Oh, you think it's some poison in it?" And she drank it, and then he was like, "I guess I'll drink some," but that's the same trick she used last season. Mm-hmm. And someone really did get poisoned, because it was poison in there. She's like, I'm a witch, nigga. Poison don't hurt me.
She's made of poison.
Like. Right. She's like, "Where do you think these pussy poltergeists come from? They don't birth themselves. Drinking this poison.
I got to maintain the pH."
Right. Yeah, so she drinks her Crown Royal. He drinks some, and he's like, "All right, cool." And then she hit him with like, drink some more, nigga. He's like, "I guess I think I'm good." And she's like, "Well, let me try to seduce you." And she starts seducing him up, man, taking his clothes off, putting the titties out. I'm like, "Oh man, your dick is not your friend. You already know." You know, it's like every time a dick comes out in a situation like that on this show, something bad happened afterwards. So she got him on the bed, she's straddling him and shit, man, like really riding him, and I'm like, "Oh man, he really think he gonna get some?" And then she started basic instinct in his ass, man, tying his arms up and his legs, and he still was going with it, like, "Okay, this is a little different. I didn't know you was into this."
Oh, doing some bondage?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Anytime secret bondage come out of a bed, man, it's never good in a movie. No. And, he ended up getting his ass, Theon, cause he was all tied up, and she hopped up off his dick like, "Oh, all right. Well, time to do my duty." And, right then the door opened, and Stannis and Seaworth come in. So it's even more embarrassing. And she put some leeches on this nigga, and it was gross.
Yeah. I had to turn away. It was too much.
They used like real leeches and shit. I thought she was going to put them like on his face or in his mouth or something. Like it was going to be some weird bug, but she took it worse. She found a way to make it worse. She put like one on his chest, one on his stomach, and one on his dick.
Oh
yes!
I don't understand, because you already were having sex with him at that point. You could have just asked him, and told him it was part of how you have sex in Dragonstone, and he would have fell for it, because he's not that smart.
Right?
I don't know why you had to tie him up and put it on his dick.
She just cruel, man. Because like, if she would have just said, "Look, man, I'm gonna cut your hand. I just need a little blood," he probably would have did it.
Right. You know? And now you just made him mad for the rest of the time that you have him, that you're not gonna kill him.
Right, yeah. How you gonna get him back to being a regular sheep after this shit? So, she takes the leeches off of him after a few minutes, including the one from his dick, and he seemed to be very upset by this. I didn't know dick leeches was the hotness, but not me a fan. So she
looked like that would do something, and I don't know, really mess you up, man.
Yeah. And also I don't get what the point of the sex was. For dick leeching. I just don't understand.
I guess all the blood rushed to it, so there was more blood there. And it was easier to get it, maybe?
Maybe. But you would think she put 3 dick leeches on his dick then. I don't know.
She was just talking with him at that point. Yeah. I don't even know.
What an asshole.
She's
an
ass.
Mm. Anyway, so she takes the leeches, cause apparently Stannis and Seaworth want proof that, there's some power in the king's blood, cause Seaworth is like, man, she could just be fucking this nigga up for nothing. You know, you got, You know, your brother got killed and he shared your blood, but he was coming at you for your crown. Gendry hasn't done anything to you. Are you absolutely sure you need to kill this dude in order to, you know, succeed to the throne, in order to win this war? So, she takes the leeches, throws them on a grill, you know, puts a little barbecue sauce on them.
Oh, you can grill them?
Yeah, Charles, my man, Uncle Charles showed up. He was like, I knew her. We ate leeches with the dude. Wasn't nothing special about her until today. But, So they put the leeches on the barbecue and they start blowing up, like, you know, like you can see little puffs of like something explosive in it. So that must mean his blood is valuable to some extent. So,
and they were saying different names over them because they said Joffrey and then cut to Joffrey and that one like exploded.
Yes, so
I was hoping meant Joffrey's head was just gonna split the fuck open, but I realized that was a bit too optimistic on my part.
Man, like when they said the name, they said Rob too. Like I think they said Rob first, did Joffrey, and I was like, you know what? If Rob has to die for Joffrey to die, it's cool.
Let it be.
It's cool. Let's just get him out of here, man. But yeah, they said names over him. The leeches like exploded, and I guess we'll find out more about what that means with his blood later, but that was the end of that scene. Cut to the party.
Oh, this part, girl, it was like every Caribbean wedding I've ever been to.
It was like the last scene in How to Be a Player for people that ever saw that shitty movie.
Like just, oh my.
Just fuckery on every corner, man. Like you take two steps and some fuckery happens. They had the imp sitting at the table. It was, you know, the, what do you call it? The reception afterwards. Everybody.
Like the head table kind of idea. Yeah.
Yeah. They're all eating and stuff. And, he's drunk off his ass and he's telling Sansa, like, you know, she's like, you straight? He's like, oh, I'm straight, girl. You know, that's what I do. The imp, baby, you know? His dad has already told him, like, you know, you're going to have to do some things. So, he wants him to have a child. And, you know, that's why they made him get married, so they can have offspring, and then they'll control the North because they'll have right by blood. Sansa is like, look, I just need to walk off, get some fresh breath, get some fresh air or something. So she starts walking off. Joffrey gets up from the table. And Cersei is just asserting how impotent her control is over Joffrey at this point. She's like, don't you need to sit down and talk to your own wife? And he's like, I got a lifetime to troll her. I'm about to go troll this bitch one more time.
So do what my daddy taught me. Be right back.
Yeah. So he went and followed Sansa. And of course, he always has his two guards with him all the time. So, like, they kind of, like, cornered her in a little room or something. And he was basically like, you know, my dad wants you to have a Lannister baby. I mean, my granddad or whatever. He wants you to have a Lannister baby. But just so you know, it don't matter which Lannister gets to tap that ass first. So, as soon as my uncle goes to bed and passes out tonight, I'm going to be up in your room. And I'm going to rape you. And my boy's going to hold you down. And you know how we do, man. I'm going to get me some, so I don't care how it goes.
Tell me that's not some Candyman shit.
So fucked up.
I'll come for your ass later. Wait.
Yeah. And then suddenly, Sansa realized I probably should have set my ass back down and goes back to the table. I don't know what she was thinking being around Joffrey at all.
No. Stupid. And you know what my problem with Joffrey and his threats is? He doesn't even whisper. At least whisper. And make me feel like you feel a way about what you're saying to me. He says that shit like he would just announce it at dinner. I'm a rape Sansa later. I hope you all like the peas.
Right.
Pass the potatoes.
Yeah. So Sansa goes back to the table. Meanwhile, Tywin Lannister was mad as shit. He's just sitting there looking at the imp getting drunk, stewing, just like, motherfucker, I can't believe you out here drunk again. All you do is get drunk, fuck hoes, I told you. You know, you can't act right in public, not even once for me. So he walked over to him when Sansa was gone and was like, hey man, you drunk as shit right now. And you know you're supposed to be fucking that girl. I want that baby tonight. Get the fucking I'm tired of this shit. And he was like, bro, remember, you called me a lustful drunk. So I'm just doing my part. I'm drunk as fuck and I'm gonna be lustful. So, you need to chill out. And, Tywin could not refute that logic, but he was still mad.
And then he did like Khaleesi and gave himself a new title that he's the god of tits and wine.
Yes!
Which I'm getting on a business card. I'm just gonna say that about myself from now on.
I like that. Holla at Vistaprint, like, yes, 250 gods of tits and wine, please. I would like to, pass this on to people. But, yeah, he was good, man, in that scene.
That would be a cool name for a porn shop.
Mm-hmm. God of tits and wine. Mm-hmm. I like it.
I do too.
That'd just be a cool name for a shop where you sell alcohol and pornography.
Oh, yes.
I can't believe we can't do that already in America.
Ain't that the truth?
Seems like the next level. But, yeah, so, the new god of tits and wine gets confronted by, the angry ass King Joffrey, who decides that, he wants to see some fucking right there at the party. You know, he's like, hey, my trolling of Sansa hasn't gone far enough. Why don't y'all strip naked and get the fucking man? Like, that's part of the ceremony. I'm the king. And Tyrion was like, hey man, that's not cool, bro. And he said, I'm the king. If I demand it, it'll be cool. And he's like, you demand it, I'll take this knife and cut your dick off. And he was like, hold up, what? And the record skipped on the
Everybody froze into this, like, wait, what? Shit.
Tywin, man, is so, like, he's such a G. Mm-hmm. Granddaddy Lannister just stands up and he's like, oh, I'm sure that, Tyrion didn't even mean anything by that. He would never threaten the king. And Tyrion thought about it for a second, holding that knife, and he goes, yeah, I was just joking, dog.
It was a joke.
Mm-hmm. So, they decided, and then he played real, real drunk and was like, well, let's get the fucking, come on, Sansa, grab her by the hands, like, let's get up out of here, do what we got to do. You know how we do, girl. And, Sansa finally, for once in her life, shut the fuck up and just went along with the plan. Oh, thank God. I thought she was going to say some dumb shit. Oh, you're too drunk for this or something.
Shut up, Sansa.
Right, just shut up. Just go with him. He's saving your life right now. The only dude in the room that gives any fucks about you. So she goes back to the room with him and he's like, well, I guess we gotta fuck. And she's like, okay, now I'm ready for my wine. And she starts drinking. And, she goes to take off her clothes and she gets like halfway through and he's like, how old are you again? And, she said 14. And then, yeah, see.
He was not drunk anymore right then.
Yeah.
He was like, you're a child.
Yeah. Uh-huh. He sobered up real quick. Seems like you ready came on and he was like,
shut up.
He was like, AJ, number to number.
Yeah. Your body's calling me came on and he said, you know what? Nah, I'm good. I'm gonna sleep on the couch. You sleep in the bed. Don't even worry about it. And if one day you decide to sleep with me, then that's cool. And she said, well, what if I don't decide? And, which is a nice way of saying, nigga, I'm never gonna fuck you. And he was like, then that's cool too. We'll see what happens. You know, nobody can make me fuck anybody. I'm a man. Damn it. And that was cool. Cause when they woke up in the morning, Shay came through and was like checking Sansa's, drawers or something. Was like, oh, cool.
She's checking the sheets. Yeah. Shay don't play. She brought breakfast and she checked the sheets.
Oh Lord.
And then she gave him a smile like, oh, you ain't fucking. Thank you. Thanks, buddy.
You know,
But yeah, man, so Sansa didn't get fucked and, you know, it's good. And I still thought when the imp passed out, she should have moved the dresser in front of the door just in case.
What? I would have slept with my back against that door.
Joffrey might have been serious, you know?
You know?
And I probably would have told Tywin too. I would be like, sir, I don't know if you're down with this, but
Get
your grandson. The grandson is tripping hard. Okay, that's what he told me. Keep it on the low. I ain't tell you. You ain't heard it from me. But yeah, so we cut back to the Khaleesi. Oh, that just reminds me. We didn't get no Jon Snow this week either.
Nope.
All right. Well, we cut back to the Khaleesi, and she's getting a bath, talking to former slave natural
the
hair
translator.
And they having a good conversation about speaking the language is that the cow
Dothraki,
yeah, speaking Dothraki. And she was like, well, you know how it is. I came from the bottom, now I'm here. I started, you know, at the ground floor, but you know how I do. I speak all these language and shit. And she's like, yeah, it's pretty good, you know, you all right with the Dothraki and shit, but you know, your Havelarian is pretty dope. And she was like, fuck you mean all right? I'm nice with mine.
You know?
She tried to...
My husband told me. No, he was fucking you at the time, right, though. Yeah. So he might have said some things.
Mm-hmm. Like, was his penis inside you? Because that could lead to a lot of compliments that come back later, you know? The translator was like, yeah, okay. And so Khaleesi tried to break some out, and she fucked up one of the words, and the translator corrected her. And she was like, but it's cute though. Keep it up. Your Havelarian is great.
It's cute.
Yeah. Your Havelarian is good though. It's real good, mm-hmm. You know.
Good life.
But you know, you didn't have to learn it under threat of death like I did. So it's completely different. And right about then, she walks out of the frame, the translator, and we hear a gasp. And Daenerys opens up her eyes and she's like, hold up. Who done came up in my crib? And it was Dario Naharis, linebacker for Alabama.
I hate you, Ross.
Number 29.
Linebacker from Alabama, and it fucking works out.
Dario Naharis, the Ohio State University. And he goes, look, I got my knife to you, girl, so nobody scream, okay? But I came here to talk to you. I'm supposed to kill you. And it was kind of cool because, like, the Khaleesi didn't even get scared.
Nope.
Like, she is naked in a bathtub, man. The most vulnerable you can get as a human being.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know. I got my ass whooped coming out of bathtub one time for getting kicked off the bus. Worst whooping with a switch. Worst whooping I ever got.
Oh dear.
Mm-hmm. And that dude had a knife. So I'm just saying.
She didn't even disturb the surface of the water. Nothing. She put the washcloth down. That's just about all that happened.
Yeah. She's like, let me put my washcloth down. Listen, what's the problem?
You interrupted my bath time.
And he was like, look, I was supposed to come here and kill you tonight. She's like, well, are you gonna kill me or not? Don't keep missing
steps. Forget my hands.
Yeah. I don't got time all day. I don't got time for this shit. Do I finna need to take the shower or not? So, he's like, but I'm not gonna kill you. She's like, well, what about your superiors? Wasn't you just a lieutenant this afternoon?
Ain't you? Like, if you ain't gonna kill me, I'm gonna talk to you like an asshole.
Yeah. Like, you fucked up then. And so, he said, oh, don't worry about them. And he pulled out a bag that had both of the heads in it, the captain and Titan's bastard, just decapitated, carried around the heads in the bag, man, pulled them out, threw them on the ground, and she stood up in the tub, walked right past them heads, which
tiptoed through the tulips over the heads, like, excuse me, pardon me.
Just so gangster. Never broke eye contact with this man. So I'm like, is she gonna seduce him, kiss him, fuck him? And all she did was stand in front of him and had a girl put that robe on her. Like, mm-mm. And the pussy is closed for the night. You game after hours.
You got to see it though. You got to see it.
You're welcome.
But you ain't only.
She said, now why are you doing this shit? And he was like, cause you so beautiful. You fine. And she said, how I know you're gonna be loyal? He's like, well, I'm loyal to me mostly, but I do what the fuck I wants to do. And she was like, well, that's kind of like the rule for being in my army. You get to do what the fuck you want to do. Do you pledge your loyalty to me? And he was like, hell yeah, girl, shit. And now he in the crew, and I can't wait to see how Jorah handles this shit.
Fuck Jorah. I want to see what Grey Worm does.
Oh, it's going to be a problem, man. He pretty.
And Grey Worm already had a problem with his whole crew.
Pretty Ricky.
He pretty. He got like, I guess, 1,097 dudes under his command now. And, he might be a problem, man. So, you know, well, I wait, 1,997 men under his command because he killed two. And I'm assuming he's one. So he you know, he's going to be a problem. He's got his own army, his own say. He does what he wants. He pretty. He in love with the, Khaleesi. And Jorah and them niggas still steady in love with her, but they old. So it's gonna be problems.
They're in a different kind of love with her. They've resegmented it. They like the show.
Right. They're in the friend zone so hard. Right. So hard. Like if she would have pulled a titty out, they would have definitely tried something, but they know not to because she the Khaleesi. But Dario don't know any better. He's gonna try that. So all right, last scene of the show. We got back to my boy Peter from the Cosby.
Yeah, buddy.
In the woods. And I knew something special was going to happen with Peter because they've been sticking with him. And, you know, I always root for the fat people in the apocalypse, man. Got to stick together. I'm tired of people always trying to hate on us. Like, y'all not going to make it. Zombies and shit. I'm like, come on, dog. We might. It's just sheer averages. So Peter's and that baby and that girl were hanging out in the woods. They got into a house, and he still can't start a fire.
Still.
I ain't mad. I can't start one either, dog.
This nigga's job is to be in the woods, though, Karen. It's completely
okay. Different. I must say, that's not my job. Mm-hmm.
It's unacceptable.
He's like a stripper that doesn't wax.
Right.
Oh, Lord. Something wrong with that picture.
That's
your only job.
It's like a boy. It's like a Boy Scout that can't tie a knot. You know, like, dude, what are you here for? So, they were talking about her daddy issues, and he said, hey, my daddy was mean, too. Well, I guess not like yours, though. He wasn't fucking me, but he was mean. And
let's just say Christmas wasn't fun at our house.
Yeah. And he used a big word on it. He said philosophical, and she got mad.
Where?
She said, I feel like you're using these big words trying to make me feel stupid. Is that what you're doing? And he's like, nah, I forgot you was incest homeschooled. That's not my fault. And so they were coming up with names for the baby because he decided that just naming him boy wasn't good. And she brought up Castor, and he was like, why the fuck would you name him after that? that's a problem. Then she tried to name him after his father. He said, don't do that. My father ain't shit. Meanwhile, they just forgot that the tree outside of this cabin has a face on it and is red in the middle of the winter.
I can't.
Right. The leaves are red and the tree has a fucking face.
But and birds are multiplying by the fucking minute.
Yes.
Even as you walked up.
Yes. The crows are just gathering and shit. And I was like, the only thing that could make this scene better is if it was the racist crows from Dumbo.
Shut up.
That's the only way.
Fly talking shit.
That's the only way it could have been worse. Of just more
force. I've seen the one with the little pepper hat.
Yes.
Talking that black racism. Oh, Disney. But so right about then, the crows just get louder and louder. And he comes outside like, what's all this hubbub, bub? And it's a white walker in the distance. And he's like, yeah, I saw my cell crows, got a call, got a text. apparently y'all.
He wasn't even running, he was legitimately sauntering towards Peter like, I'ma get there. Don't worry about it, you don't need to run.
He's like, I ordered this baby takeout and I know y'all ain't going nowhere. So, Peter, from the Cosby, Samwell, he pulled out his sword. I have not laughed so hard. Like, I rewound the sword thing like 5 times. Mm-hmm. Cause he was determined, like, I'm gonna pull the sword out. I'm gonna protect you, girl. Get back. And, he pulls out his sword, swings on the White Walker. It catches the sword, freezes it and shatters it and slaps the fuck out of him. Peter, what? He went 20 feet and hit a tree.
That's the fastest he's ever moved in his whole life.
Ever. Oh, it was so good. It was so good, man. He bitch slapped the shit out of Peter, man. Peter didn't want to give up, man, because, you know, the White Walker's getting close to the baby, and now the incest girl is like, you can't have this baby. And the White Walker's like, come on, dog. I'm gonna take it. Yeah. Don't make me have to hurt you too, you know? So Peter remembers that he had a knife from last episode that he found in the middle of the woods. And he doesn't like look at it like it's special. He just wants to protect the girl, and it's the only
right,
weapon
it's
he has.
Last weapon. Yeah.
Right. So he pulls out the knife, and I'm thinking like, he broke the sword, dude. Why are you gonna get killed over this chick? And he runs up and stabs the White Walker in the back with the knife, and it turns around and it starts turning to ice, and it falls down on the ground, and then it breaks in pieces. And, you know, this is the magical knife somehow that can kill White Walkers with one stab. And Peter leaves the shit on the ground and runs off with the girl.
Okay, I would like to say, Peter has no fucking training. But I'm with Peter on this one. Because I don't think he necessarily put together that that knife was special. I think he just thought he hit the sweet spot.
Yeah, he's like, you did time go.
At that moment myself, because then them crows started following them.
I just can't wait till, yeah, the crows do chase them off, and they're saying all the racist shit from Dumbo, you know.
Yes.
It's like, I ain't seen you in the coon's age, and all this shit, and he just runs off. But, yeah, that would have been funny, though, if the crows would be like, lordy, lordy, he done killed another one. So they run off or whatever, and they leave a knife on the ground. And I just, in my mind, fast forwarded to like 2 weeks from now when he's telling somebody he killed a White Walker, and they like, bull fucking shit. You killed a White Walker? Word.
Wait,
what? I'm not gonna believe that.
Right. Well, show me the secret knife. Oh man, it's in the woods, dog. I ran like a motherfucker. It's like, okay, we gotta go back and get this knife. But, I don't know what kind of metal it was or what. Anyway, he leaves a knife there, and that's the end of the show. Patrice, what are you looking forward to next week?
Well, it's the second to last episode, so I think we're going to have to start wrapping up some things. Yeah. Arya's going to have to get somewhere.
Yes.
Or either decide to sign on, because she didn't really agree to stay with the Hound, I think. She just kind of heard him out.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, no, 2 weeks from now, this is the second to last, someone in the chat pointed out, because next week is Liberace! So I'm looking forward to that.
I will be live tweeting that.
Yes. But I want to see what goes on with Jon Snow.
Yeah.
Because I still don't trust Orel and all those other guys. And I think they're going to confront him about not really being down for them.
Yeah. Yeah, the story is moving fast, and there's so many stories that they're not even able to cover all the stories in 1 week.
And I have to believe that we're going to end on a cliffhanger in the last episode at Joffrey's wedding to Margaery. Something's going to happen.
Mm. Yeah, maybe.
There's not enough time to wrap that up clean.
Yeah, I want to see what's going to happen with Gendry's blood. Like, what is it that it does? Because they were calling out people's names and shit like that. So I need to see what that does.
I think that's all going to go down at Joffrey's wedding. Once she said his name over that slug, I think we're going to pull that through, and we're going to end on that at the end of the 10th episode.
I'm into that. I need to see Jamie.
Yes.
Yeah, I got to.
What about Jamie?
Jamie and Brienne got to get back the King's Landing, man. I can't wait till he finds out that Cersei about to get married to the gay dude, man. He going to be pissed.
I forgot about the Yogi Bear squad. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He only gonna have one hand. You know, everybody gonna have jokes. I mean,
there's
wedding jokes. Joffrey gonna definitely say something about that one hand, dog. That's coming. Like, it's
one person that I would smack him with the other one, though. So,
go ahead, jump it. I can't wait, man. So, that's what I'm looking forward to the most, too. I guess, whatever's gonna happen with the Khaleesi, too, as far as when she's gonna take over that city, cause, now that her army is joined again by more people, it's like 10,000 people. You really gotta wonder, man, like, why won't that city just open up the doors? Cause I don't know who friend is that friendly that, you think you can just, Cuban beat them 10,000 soldiers, dude. You're gonna have to do something.
Mm-hmm. Ain't that the truth?
All right. Well, Patrice, it was a pleasure talking to you again.
Of course.
Make sure you guys check out A Hell and Heartaches. No Dim Thrones next week, cause, looks like, you know, we'll have, the Liberace, the Candelabra movie, Behind the Candelabra.
I am so gonna be around for that though.
I will be live tweeting that. And if it's good enough, maybe we do Behind the Candelabra. Maybe we do that.
Awesome, yeah.
So we, and this should be good. If this shit ain't good, man, I'm gonna be mad as fuck.
I don't know what I'm gonna do. I'm so hyped for it. I don't know what I'm gonna do if it's no good. I'm gonna get mad.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm probably gonna lose some followers if it ain't good. Cause I'm gonna be talking shit. Like, are you fucking kidding me? But, yeah. So we'll hook up next week. Hell and Heartaches at Patrice C on Twitter. Like I said, you should be following her. I know we get so much love for this segment. And honestly, segment wouldn't be half as good without Patrice. So
ain't that the truth?
Make sure y'all follow her, man.
Yeah, cause y'all watch it.
Yep. We'll talk to you next week, Patrice.
See you guys. Bye.
Peace. Oh man. Love that woman. She's awesome.